Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this hump day morning. I hope everybody is doing well out there. And it is now time for Greenside Up right here on the Mighty 690. And joining us in studio today is Dave and Ann Katie. Ladies, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Doing well. How are you?
Doing pretty good. And we're going to go ahead and start it with you, Dave. And what would you like to talk about today? And also, are there any events coming up that you'd like to talk about before we get to your main subject?
At the moment, there are no events coming up. The K-State Gardening Hour is still going on, and Dining with Diabetes, that online class, has started. So I believe they're not taking registration for that any longer. So at the moment, we don't have any events coming up. I think Katie will probably mention some 4-H related events coming up in a little while. But stay tuned, as we'll probably have more events coming up in the future. But today, as fall is quickly approaching, some mornings are starting to feel a little bit cooler. I'll be talking about getting goats and sheep ready for breeding season. Fall is the main breeding season for sheep and goats. And if you haven't done so already, now's the time to evaluate your sheep and goats and make sure they're in good condition for breeding season. I'm sure some people out there, they've probably already turned their buck in with their does. Maybe they're breeding for December or January kids, but for those who are planning on having February, March, or kids or lambs born later in the spring, now is a great time to evaluate both your males and your females. And one of the first things you want to evaluate on them is their body condition score, which that refers to the amount of fat cover they have over their back and their ribs. And the body condition scale for sheep and goats is a little bit different from cattle. It kind of works in the same way, but their scale is from 1 to 5. So 1 is being very, very skinny, emaciated, and then 5 would be obese. So you usually don't see very many in the 1 or 5 range. More common is the 2 to 3 range.
Kind of want to be in that area anyway.
Yeah, right. You really want to shoot for the middle on the body condition scores. So now's a good time to bring in those does and ewes and evaluate their body condition. For the females, you want their body condition score to be in the range from about like 2.5 to 3.5. So right there in the middle. And being in the middle really gives them or really puts them where you want to be, because they're not too skinny and they're not too fat. Because if they're too skinny going into breeding season, their chances of successfully being bred and then kidding in the spring are very low. And it kind of works the same way if they're too fat, if they're overweight. And actually, them being overweight, if they go into breeding season that way and then kidding or lambing in the spring, that could lead to more problems. So if you're wanting to get a little bit more weight on your does or ewes before breeding, about 2 to 4 weeks before you're going to turn the ram or the buck in, you can give them 0.5 pound to 1 pound of grain a day, just as a supplement to help get their body condition and their weight up. And this is also referred to flushing. It's not always done when does or ewes need to put on more weight, but it's also done just to boost their nutrients, add a little bit more weight to them, and increase their chances of throwing twins or sometimes even triplets if that's desirable for the breeder. And kind of on the flip side, if does are overweight and you want to get some of that weight off of them before breeding, now would be a good time to maybe separate from them from the herd and put them on a little bit of a diet so they get more back into that target 2.5 to 3.5 body conditioning score. And of course, we don't want to leave out the bucks and rams. A lot of times they just kind of get forgotten about in the pasture until this time of year. But you also want to evaluate their body condition score. And for bucks and rams, you're looking for them to be a little bit higher body condition score of 3 to 3.5, because they'll be really active this time of year when they're turned in with those does or the ewes. So you want them to have a little bit extra body condition going into breeding season. And if they are too thin, you can do the same type of thing to supplement them, is give them 0.5 pound to 1 pound of grain to kind of just increase that feed ration, give them a little bit of extra nutrients and help them gain weight. Because a lot of times once they're turned in with the does or the ewes, they're really active, they're running around a lot, so they'll tend to lose a little bit of weight. So if they're starting out breeding season just a touch over condition, that's typically just fine with them. And because a lot of times the bucks and rams just kind of get left in the pasture, now's also a good time to update their vaccinations if you haven't done so already, while you're already have a hold of them and are handling them.
So you're saying, you know, there's a range from 1 to 5. What is usually the best average weight for a sheep or a goat?
Average weight is a little bit of a tougher question, because that will vary depending on age, mm-hmm. and also breed, and then also if it's a doe or if it's a buck. The bucks tend to be heavier. But typically for meat goats, one of the most common breeds is the boar. So you're usually dealing with boar, or like boar crosses. So the does typically range anywhere from 100 to 200 pounds. And you really want them, before you breed them, to be around that 100 pound range. And then the bucks are usually more around 200. Some of them, if they're bigger, they get closer to that 300
right.
Range. But just like people, they all kind of have different builds. Some will be taller and have a bigger frame and need to carry more weight, while others will be shorter and not need to carry as much weight. So that's kind of where the body conditioning scoring is a good tool to use, because weight isn't always an accurate
right.
Representation, because what 150-pound doe might be really healthy. Well, if she's a bigger frame doe, then 150 pounds for that other doe, that may put
her a little too small,
a little too much on the skinny side. And then also, once the does or ewes are bred, of course, their weight will be increasing, but that's because they're bred.
Right.
So then checking the body condition score, it will give you a better idea of if you need to be feeding them a little bit more or not, since the weight isn't as accurate at that time.
Right. So that's why the scale, because like I said, it's just like people. Some are shorter, some are taller, and people are built differently. So like you said, 150 for a shorter one is okay, but it may not be for a larger one.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so again, that's a good scale to go by. And do you have any more information on your website about this as of right now?
I believe we have a little bit of information on our website about this. And of course, people can always reach me at the extension office by calling 620-331-2690.
All right. Well, and Katie, we're going to move over to you here for just a few minutes before we go to break. And you're just kind of wanting to, you said you wanted to kind of dovetail on this a little bit, correct?
Yeah, I would love to tag on to what Adavin's talking about, because I think it's awesome and important for people to understand what our 4-H kids are up to. They're doing some of the exact things that Adavin's talking about right now. They're taking those fair animals that they showed at County Fair at the end of this July, or here at the Interstate Fair in Coffeyville here in August, and they're taking them home. They're putting them back in the breeding pen, and they're planning for next year to raise their own goats to show again. Not all of our kids do that, but a big majority of them do. It teaches them quite a bit. And really what they're doing is they are more than likely breeding at two different times of year, kind of depending on what type of show they're trying to go to. So our kids are usually looking for market animals that are born usually around January, and our sheep and goats, so that they can take those down to the county fair. When they show them at the county fair, you guys were talking about weight, and so I was looking some of our weights up. Those kids typically have from around roughly January to July to push those animals to weigh. For sheep, we're shooting for 90 pounds. Mm-hmm. For goats, we're shooting for at least 50 pounds. Most of our kids hit that with ease, and they're weighing more about 75 pounds come fair time. So when Adavin's talking about weights and that conditioning, these animals are usually very well conditioned by the time they get home. In fact, a lot of times we put them on a diet after they come home from fair to get that breeding program started. But then these kids are breeding, they're choosing their sires so that they get the traits that they want so that they can better themselves based on the judges' comments this year. Then, you know, those goats that don't make the cut to show, they're marketing them through a local auction or to other 4-H kids or something like that. And that money's going back into their bank account, either to better their breeding program or maybe pay for college. And so David's talking about the breeder side of this. And the great thing about it is our 4-H kids are learning the exact same thing. And they work with her. She's at our county fair. We're picking all this up, and the future of the show industry, as well as sheep and goats, is definitely strong. I would say that goats is one of our biggest numbers at county fair, and I think it'll stay that way. Those animals are easy to raise for the most part, and good money for those kids, and they're learning a lot out of it.
So, I mean, I was out there for a day out there. We were broadcasting out there, and I saw some good-looking goats and sheep out there. However, they were fairly noisy that day. That one would start, it'd be funny, you'd hear one go, meh, and then all of a sudden, meh, meh, just all over the place. It was fun to hear. But did either you guys get to go out to the Interstate Farm Show this year out there at the fairgrounds?
Yes, I helped with the cattle show at the Interstate Fair mm-hmm. this year, and I was also out there a little bit to watch the goat show as well.
So. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. One would start and they'd all get going all at the same time.
Yeah, they can be pretty talkative.
they're just like, hey, how's everybody doing? All right, well, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have more after the 8 o'clock hour at around 8:10. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this beautiful hump day morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Green Side Up right here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. Also in studio with me, David and Katie. Good morning, ladies. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Well, David, you said you wanted to kind of expound on what you were talking about a little bit earlier today. And if you kind of just, what were you talking about earlier, maybe for somebody that is just joining us?
Yeah, so earlier this morning I was talking about getting goats and sheep ready for breeding season. Fall is one of the main breeding seasons for sheep and goats, and some people probably have already turned the buck or ram in with their does and ewes because they're breeding for January or sometimes even December kids and lambs. But for those that are planning on having February and March kids and lambs, or kids and lambs born later in the spring, now is a good time to evaluate your goats and sheep and make sure they're in good condition and ready to go for breeding season. So before the break, I talked about body condition scoring goats and sheep and making sure they're in good body condition before breeding. And so body condition refers to the amount of fat cover they have over their back and their ribs. For goats and sheep, the body condition score is of a range from 1 to 5, so 1 being really, really skinny, and then 5 being obese. So you want them in that in-between range, usually about 2 to 3.5. And for does and ewes before breeding season, you really want them to be ideally in the 2.5 to 3.5 range. And for bucks and rams, you want them to be just have a little bit more condition and be in the 3 to 3.5 body condition range. And if you have one that's a little bit on the light side, you can supplement them with about 0.5 pound to 1 pound of grain a day just to give them a little bit extra and help them put on some weight and body condition before breeding. And then also, if you have one that's overweight, you can also kind of separate them from the herd and put them on a little bit of a diet to get them more into that ideal range. I also wanted to mention, though, as you're working with your goats and sheep, maybe breaking them into breeding groups or pulling the buck or the ram out of their pasture and turning them in with the does, that now's a good time to also check them to see if they need to be dewormed. So checking them for signs of internal parasites. So those signs are a poor body condition if they're very skinny. For goats, if they have a really rough coat. And then for sheep, if they're hair sheep as well, if they have a rough coat, if they're wool sheep, if they're maybe losing some wool and getting a little bit patchy looking, those are signs of internal parasites. And you can also look at the color of their inner eyelid, and you want that color to be red or a really good pink. If it's a paler pink to white color, that means they have blood-sucking internal parasites.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's not good at all. The most common for sheep and goats is the barber pole worm. So if you see any of those signs, you're going to want to deworm them. And especially for the barber pole worm, you want to check your does and your ewes before you turn the buck or the ram in to breed them.
Are they called that because they kind of look like a barber pole a little bit, or is it just the name that stuck with it?
It's just the name that stuck with it.
I didn't know if it looked like it. I was like, oh, that could be an interesting looking one.
But. Yeah, that would make it more interesting. No, they're pretty plain looking, just white in color. But with the barber pole worm, one of the most common dewormers used for sheep and goats is Valvazin. And with that dewormer, you don't want to use it within the first 45 days of gestation for sheep and goats because it can cause birth defects. So it's really important to check the does and ewes before breeding to see if they need to be dewormed and to deworm them before you turn the buck and the ram in with them. And also, I mentioned before the break, a lot of times bucks and rams, they get sort of not necessarily neglected, but they're just kind of left in the pasture to do their own thing most of the year. So
just kind of roam around.
Yeah. So while you're already handling them, now's a great time to check them to see if they need to be dewormed as well. And then also it's important to check their hooves. I know before the break we were talking about, or Katie was talking about 4-H'ers and their projects. And I know when I was in 4-H, one of the first things I learned to do with my goats was how to trim their hooves. And that's a really good skill for 4-H'ers to learn if they don't know how to do it already. And then it's also important for any breeder to know how to do that, because especially with your bucks and rams, they're going to be really active. So you want to make sure their hooves are trimmed up and in good condition and that they're ready to go. And it's been drier recently, so hoof rot isn't as big of a problem, but you always want to kind of check them out for that. If you notice any strange smells or odors in their hooves, you definitely want to look for signs of hoof rot and then treat them for that if needed.
Yeah, it's been a little bit drier lately, although they're talking about we may get a little rain today, but it's a very outside shot. There's a, I guess the remnants of Marco is moving up this direction. So, but of course we got that other one out there right now, Laura, that's, they're talking about maybe a cat four hurricane. So that's not good. So, but again, another thing I want to discuss real quick, earlier this year we were, and I can't remember the name of it, and maybe you do remember the name of it, where, I guess it was horses and cows, they were getting that disease in their hooves.
VSV.
Yes. Is that still kind of widespread right now, or are they kind of getting that under control as of right now?
That, the last time I looked, which was last week or the week before, on the Department of Ag's website, and that has gotten under control. There were no active cases reported currently in Montgomery or in Lubbock County. Well, so thankfully that's gotten kind of under control, mm-hmm. and there's haven't been any new cases recently.
Well, that's good to hear, because I know for a while there it was like widespread, and I know it was in Oklahoma as well.
Yes.
So hopefully they've gotten that kind of under control. I think maybe got caught before it got really, really widespread. So hopefully we can kind of keep that down. And going back to Katie here, and Katie, well, again, welcome back. And you were talking, well, let me turn your mic on before I do that. But you were talking earlier about, your 4-H'ers, that a lot of the skills that they're learning we can talk about it again, but a lot of the skills that they're learning, especially, and it's kind of dovetailing off what David just talked about.
Yeah, she talked about trimming the animals' hooves and the worm management and vaccination management and just overall herd health and herd management. And that's something that those kids have to stay on top of. Most of our kids, she spoke about boar goats earlier. Those are the goats that they're raising. They're raising the meat goats mostly because boars are what we show typically. They do best at our meat goat shows because that's what they're showing them for. Mm-hmm. And those goats are going to be a little bit more finicky. They're not your pasture goats. They're something that are need a little bit more maintenance around the year. You're going to have to stay on top of the parasite management that she was talking about and some things like that so that they don't get sick and die. You know, once a boar goat gets sick, you really have to stay on top of it. And so those 4-H'ers are learning that, and there's some hard life lessons that mm-hmm. go along with losing a goat due to sickness, or sometimes things just happen. Just right. like us in life, you know, sometimes there's cancers and things that we just can't see or we can't help, and things just happen. And so that's a great life lesson for those kids. It's something for them to work with. So, yeah, our 4-H program is awesome in that general sense of giving those kids an opportunity to build something for themselves, something that they can either sell when they go to college and use that money if they've built their herd over the years, or something that'll still be there when they get home and they have an awesome herd started to continue to use as a source of income. So, you know, 4-H, we talked a little bit. That's kind of all what it's about. We're getting ready to kick off a new 4-H year come October 1. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to do this all over again, hopefully with a fresh start. Right now, our kids are meeting any way possible. Some of them are meeting via Zoom through their club meeting. Some of them are meeting in person outside, sitting in lawn chairs, social distancing. We're just doing a little bit of everything right now. But the great thing about it is that all of our families help each other. So if you wanted to get into, say, the goat project or the sheep project, and you know, we're talking about all these things, and you're like, man, that's a lot to remember and a lot to do with your goat project. The awesome thing about it is that an older family or somebody like a Daven through extension is going to come help walk you through it. There's lots of people to help you get started in 4-H and do these types of projects and really start to build those responsibilities and character and traits, that hands-on learning and leadership and traits that we preach about in 4-H, as well as the family atmosphere. It's all about working together with other people and doing this as a family. It's something that the kids are going to remember forever, and it'll pay off for them in the long run.
Basically, they have like a new extended family.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Very.
Which there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Very much so. These kids, when we get to county fair, are all given, there'll be 10 kids in the wash rack giving one goat a bath. It's just, it's a lot of fun to see. And you don't have to own a goat to come and be a part of that. Half the kids that are in the wash rack don't own that goat. They have nothing to do with goats. They know nothing about goats.
But they're learning responsibility and teamwork.
Exactly. And they're having fun, and they're having a water fight, and it's all good. And so we invite anybody to come and join us, because there's so many opportunities in 4-H like that. And, you know, it could range from maybe something about rockets or sewing or cooking. We have a huge cooking and photography group right now. Is more your style, and that's awesome. We welcome you to come work with us, too. We would love for you to join 4-H and be a part of it. If there's a family out there right now that is interested in joining 4-H, I would strongly encourage you to call the extension office, like Adavin offered the goat producers earlier, to get a hold of her. Mostly because of all the uncertainty right now that's right. going on. You know, normally I could tell you our clubs meet this Monday at this time. I guarantee you they'll be there. But with the uncertainty, maybe they're doing something outside. Maybe they're doing a Zoom meeting. And so your best bet would just be to get a hold of the extension office, and we'll put you in contact with club leaders and get you where you need to go. just because everything's a little bit different right now. We're hoping come October we find our stride and have a little bit more of a set plan.
Absolutely. And like you said, we're in a different normal, it seems like, nowadays. So things have changed up quite a bit. But still, it sounds like the kids are still able to meet, even just virtually, which that's still a good thing. Or like you said, just have some lawn chairs kind of all spread out and everybody just kind of talking that way. I actually saw a picture online where there was a group of dads that were all standing around in a circle. They're each holding a beer and they're all talking to each other, but they're in a much wider circle than they usually would be.
Yes.
So that's kind of like what the kids are doing. They're kind of just still meeting, but again, practicing social distancing and wearing masks as well, just to be safe. And again, you were saying you can call a Davin. Is that the best way to maybe get your kid involved in the 4-H, is just kind of call a Davin and she'll help you out from there?
Well, I can put that on a Davin. You should definitely. No, I'm kidding. I'm the 4-H agent. So my name's Katie Townsend. If anybody out there is interested in 4-H, I'm at the same phone number as a Davin. Yeah. So 620-331.
Just ask for you, basically.
Yeah. Yes. Ask for Katie Townsend and we will get you the information that you need. Really, anybody there at the office will be able to help you and get you started. There is information up on our website. We need to get it updated a little bit. You know, right now, most of our activities are kind of shut down. But we look for that to ramp up in October. Right now, our kids are working on record books. And so they went to the county fair. They showed their goat, they showed their rocket, and now we're at home working on, okay, I bought 20 bags of feed, 5 hay bales, I bought a new show halter, or I bought this rocket kit, fins for my rocket, and paint for my rocket. And then you start working on income and expenses. They document all that. They document the challenges that they faced and overcome. They document their ribbons, what the judge told them they could do better next year, what they did awesome at, pictures. And all of this goes into a record book for the year, and they submit it. So we're getting ready to kick that off, get those into the office and judge them. And that all goes back to that raising your own herd and that responsibility. This is kind of the cap to that before we start a new year.
And again, you said that your new season starts on October 1st?
Correct, yes.
All right, so you can sign up starting now, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you get a hold, it's never too early to start. So if you get a hold of me now, we'll get you in contact with those club leaders.
All right, sounds good. Well, ladies, I appreciate you coming in today. It's great discussion, and we look forward to seeing you guys here in a couple of weeks.
Yes, thank you for having us.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to start Open Line. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We'll be back here in just a moment.